We're doing Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph. We'll begin in the fourth wide line. We had discussed Poshei Yisrael Begufan, those who are traitors towards Israel with their bodies. Mainu. The Gemara says, what are these? What are we talking about? The Gemara speaks so harshly about them. So what did they do? Amarav, Karkapta, Delo, Manach, Tfilin. That's talking about a guy whose arm never wore tefillin. Never wore tefillin. Okay. So, Tosus. Karkapta, Delo, Manach, Tfilin. You guys have it? Says Tosis, imasek b'Torah k'minyach tefillin dami. Learning Torah is like wearing tefillin. Tamar b'mechilta osek b'Torah patur min tefillin. There's a medrash that says if you're learning Torah, you're patur from tefillin. Obviously, we don't hold that way, but Tosis says you see that Torah equals tefillin. Rabbein Tam mefaresh dehachak shamitzvah bezuya alav. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not just talking about a guy who didn't wear tefillin. It's talking about a guy who didn't wear tefillin because he looks at the mitzvah as something that's disgraceful. That the straps of the tefillin on his head are something that he looks at with disdain. But if he's scared to wear his tefillin because he says, you have to have a pure body, you can't pass air when you're wearing it, and I don't know if I could be on that level, Kelisha bal knafayim, like Elisha bal knafayim, kedita b'reish b'met tumnin, v'hu doeg kol sha'a, shema lo yuchal yizahar, l'shomra b'tara v'kdusha, so he's always concerned, maybe I won't live up to my responsibilities with the tefillin, havadai, en alavdin, poshe Yisrael begufan, that definitely, that doesn't count. What? Not if he can't have a guf naki. He's putter if he can't have a guf naki.
Unless he knows, but we're not talking about a normal person that he might pass it, like exactly in that moment, or might have a bad thought exactly in that moment.
Well, if he's not gonna be able to control himself, so he can't wear tefillin. No. V'chol hani. So this is a guy that's too nervous. V'chol hani. He should wear tefillin, but he's too nervous. V'chol hani d'shmaitin b'shelo asa tshuva. Says Tosus, another powerhouse point. Says everything we discussed here is where he didn't do tshuva. V'lo asa tshuva amrinan v'yoma d'tshuva tolah mitam mareket. If he does tshuva, so then tshuva will hold off any retribution, and when he dies, the sin will be completely clean. So this is an important Tosus, right? Okay. Back to our Gemara. Says the Gemara, what's Poshe Umoto Olam Begufan? What are the traitors of the nations with their bodies? What are we talking about here? Amar Rav Be'avera. Rav says, Poshe Umoto Olam Begufan, that's talking Ba'avera. What's Ba'avera? Says Rashi. Rashi. I don't remember what Bavira is. I have to get back to him then. Tosfos Barayot. So Tosfos explains. What's Bavera? That's talking about Arayos. They commit incest, adultery, Shekin Benoach Muzar Alav. So that's a person, that's when we say that the weighty sin among the non-Jews is rebellious against the nations, that's when he is not... he's not living up to his responsibility with the Arayos. That Ben Noach. Yeah, Umot Olam. Yeah.
So what does it mean Ben Noach Muzar?
Ben Noach, a Noachite, is Muzar Alav. He's prohibited from it. Says the Gemara, what's the continuation? That those who gave their fear in the land of life, that's a leader who instills fear in the people, and it's not for the sake of heaven. So to have people scared of him for his own sake, if it's not for the sake of heaven, that's the those who place their fear in the land of life, that the Pasuk is also talking about, that they have extreme punishment.
Like Assad, something like that.
What?
Someone like Assad.
Okay.
No?
I don't know. If he weren't such a cruel person in every other way, I'm not sure what he's doing is wrong. Meaning, a king has a right to protect his throne. David HaMelech also went to war when people tried to rebel against him. Saying the problem with him is that he's immoral all around. He's unfair and immoral, etc. But I'm saying the fact that a king fights his own people when they try to remove him from the throne, that's legitimate. David HaMelech also fought a civil war, at least twice.
It needs to be Davka, someone that just creates fear on his own.
Fear. If he instills fear and it's illegitimate, so that's Natnuchi Titam Be'er Tzchaim.
But if it's not L'Shem Shemaim, if the person thinks God gave him the power to be there, or he's a half god, so he's not doing for fear of heaven. So.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav Kol Panas Amatilimai Tera LaTzibur Shlo Shem Shemayim Menorei Ben Talmid Chacham, a leader of the Jewish people who instills fear, extra fear on the congregation, not for the sake of heaven, will not see a son who's a Talmid Chacham. Shneimar Lachen Yiru'u Anashim Lo Yirei Kol Chachmei Lev. People fear him, so he won't see wisdom of heart, meaning he won't see a son who's a wise man, he won't see a son who's a Talmid Chacham. So you see here that a leader does have to have Eimah, meaning part of being a leader is that people have to respect you. You can't be their buddy. Our halachos and hilchos Talmud Torah, you can't sit down and eat with the Talmidim. A Rebbe's not supposed to eat lunch with him. He's not supposed to sit and eat with the guys. He's not. There's a responsibility he has. There's Eimah Yeterah. Meaning each generation, each situation, and what's right there. The Gemara says if he goes too far, the Gemara is clearly telling you that a certain Ema has to be there. If you want to be a leader there, they have to be scared of you at that point.
What about the one when a Rebbe invites his students for his prison house?
So that's okay. That's okay. But to sit down with the guys and eat. So, look, each generation and each situation is different. There are situations where it's not right for the Rebbe to play soccer with the students, and there are situations where that's exactly what the Rebbe should do with the students. It depends on the generation, it depends on the Rebbe, it depends on the students, it depends on many factors. And sometimes you'll have the same situation and two Rebbeim will see it differently. One Rebbe will say, the best service I could do to these students is to play ball with them, and the other Rebbe will say, the worst thing I could do to these students is play ball with them. So sometimes it's not clear which way to go. Back to our Gemara.
There is still some halacha that we need to keep, that we shouldn't pray close to our Rebbe or pray.
That's for a different reason. That's a different reason. Bet Hillel Omrim, Rav Chesed, Matek Lapei Chesed. We said earlier, Beis Hillel say the words Rav Chesed means that Hashem tilts the case towards kindness. If everything's equal, so Hashem pushes the scale in a guy's favor. Hey Chiyavid, so what does he do? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and if it's Rabbi Eliezer, it's very interesting, because Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti, so what's he doing explaining Beis Hillel? So there's a footnote here. It says Rabbi Elazar. Then it would be Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas the Amora, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan the Amora. Kupsha. Shneimar Yeshuvi Yachamenu Yichbosha Benutenu. What Hashem does is He pulls down the scale in favor of the merits, and that's Yichbosha Benutenu, that God, so to speak, captures our sins, that He tilts the scale against them. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina Omer Nose. One understanding is that he tilts down the scale of merits. The other understanding is he lifts the side of demerits of sin. Nose, he lifts the other side of the scale. Shneimar Nose Avon Vover Al Pesha. He lifts up the sin. He removes the pesha. So obviously, this isn't the game here. It's not, how do you get the scale to push down on this side? Do you push down or pull up the other side? There's obviously more depth here. The question is, does Hashem grow the positive or remove the negative? And obviously there's more depth to that. The idea of which way do you, how do you move a person in education? How do you move a person to the positive field? Is it better to lift up the negative or weigh down the positive? Okay, so obviously there's more depth there. This is all metaphorical. I don't think there's this big scale up there where you pull weigh down all the bags of merits and sins. Tana deber b'Yishmael. Ma'avir rishon rishon v'cheni amida. We have a braisa from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael that the first sins they try to come and put on the scale, God says, get them out of here. So once Hashem removes the first sins, so then even if the scale should have been perfectly balanced, the merits weigh down. V'cheni amida. And that's how Hashem does it to ensure that the merits win when everything's equal. Amar Rava v'avon atzmo hino nimchak. Rava says, but God doesn't say get the sin out of here completely. The sin is waiting on the sidelines. The first of each sin Hashem removes. And it's standing on the side of the scale. If the scale ends up winning on the sin side, meaning has more sins, so then it jumps on. But if the merits win, so then it doesn't count. If the side of the scale of sins wins, so then that sin also gets counted.
So this is like if he breaks Shabbat once, so just once in his lifetime, meaning that the sin he broke Shabbat on purpose, and then God cleans himself from the sins, since he's not repeating anymore the first of the sins.
That's what it seems like, yes.
This is good. I finally see the source for the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you would be saying, oh, that's good, I can do something wrong now.
Amar Rava. Kol ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirin lo al kol pshav. If a person is forgiving, meaning people upset him, people do things where he's entitled to do back, and he treats it as though nothing happened. If a person is willing to forgo his rights, ma'avir al midotav, he has a right to insist on something. He has a right to pay back people for what they did to him. He has a right to hold it against them. But he is ma'avir al midotav. He forgoes what he's dutifully entitled to. Mavirin lo al kol pishav. All his mutinous activity is forgiven. So even though he has a pesha, it's not even an avon, it's a pesha. He's done sins that are rebellious, that are mutinous in their nature. But in heaven, even the midat hadin lets him go. He lets other people go, so they let him go. Shneimar nose avon v'over al pesha. L'mi nose avon? L'mi shover al pesha. If he's willing to forgo when other people are traitors towards him, so then Hashem is willing to forgo when he does sins that are improper. the Gra says, being that we said ma'avirin al pesha'av, maybe it should be l'mi or over al pesha lemisha nose avon. So who does Hashem forgo his pesha, his rebellious ways? To a person who's willing to be nose avon, to carry on himself when people purposely harm him, purposely do him harm.
What does it mean that he can pay back for what he does? What does it mean? The chodef? Same thing, the payback, but that will be also very egregious and expensive.
Okay, let's take a simple example. I come to the table. There are six pieces of kugelvi. So there's another person and me who didn't get one. Everyone gets, there's one piece left. There's him and me. So he should really cut it in half and do half-half. He doesn't, he takes the piece of kugel. Tomorrow I come to the table and I have my fork in the last piece and he's sitting on the other side of the table, same thing. I'm entitled to take that piece. Right? I'm entitled. I'm allowed to take the piece. Just like he could take it yesterday, I could take it today.
But you're comparing situations with yesterday, so you're saying since you did say no.
I'm entitled. I don't owe them. I could be a nice guy and give him half. I don't have to be a nice guy and give him half. I could take it.
Because you're entitled to your own piece.
Right. Okay. Let him go find another piece somewhere. But if I said no, I'll do half-half. So I'm forgoing what happened yesterday. I don't have to forgo it.
But if you compare a situation like since yesterday you didn't allow me to eat a piece of kugel, so today I'm also doing the same.
I'm not doing a nekama is when I do monetary harm. Here I'm not doing monetary harm. I'm entitled to that piece just like he's entitled to the piece, right? I could be a nice guy. He could have been a nice guy. He's not a nice guy to me. I don't have to be a nice guy to him. Each one of us could have gone beyond the call of duty. It would have been nice had he done it for me yesterday. He didn't. What am I going to do today? So I could easily take that piece of kugel, right? I'm entitled. Everyone in yeshiva gets one piece of kugel. We both know that that's the last piece. Yesterday, he got it. Today, I got it. If I take it, I did nothing wrong. I'm entitled to it.
So you're talking about if you let it go, even if you give your piece.
You do half-half. You don't even have to give me your piece. You do what you would have wanted him to do yesterday. He didn't go beyond the call of duty to you. You ignore that. You go towards him. You're willing to forgo what he did to you. You're entitled not to forgo it. And there are many other examples that way. It doesn't have to enter the halachos of nekama. There are things that you don't have to forgo.
It doesn't depend on kavana. Like if you withhold the shovel from your neighbor because he did that to you last week.
I purposely gave an example where I'm not taking anything from him. I'm not withholding.
It's your
shovel. Right, okay. It's not a monetary issue. There's something there that I'm entitled to take.
This isn't a monetary issue either. It's a shovel that he won't lend out.
When we learn the laws of Nekama, I think you'll agree with me that my example is right. But maybe not. Remind me, we'll learn the laws of Nekama, Bezalel. Okay.
What was the question? Sorry. He doesn't have a shovel to pass?
Because he didn't lend a shovel to him the week before.
Let's take a better example. You lend your shovel, and he damages the shovel. And he's not paying for it. Now he comes and asks you for the shovel again. You don't have to lend him the shovel. He proved that you can't trust him. Now, technically, he harmed you. You have a right to say, I don't want to lend you the shovel again. You're entitled to say that. But you don't. You order a taxi, and the guy tells you he'll be there in 5 minutes, and a half hour later, he's not there. So you go out on the street and you're about to flag down another taxi and you see him at a distance. You don't know what to him. He wasted your time. On the other hand, he's here. You could be a nice guy and take him. That's ma'avir al midotav. You could say, I don't know him anything. You know, I waited. He did me one over. He's wrong. He promised me 5 minutes. I waited here a half hour. I needed that. I didn't hire a taxi because I could wait that half hour.
Great story from someone. He ordered a taxi car service when he was dating his wife, and they showed up really, really late. And when they got there, after like 5 minutes, the driver turns to him and says, "Listen, I'm really sorry, but I haven't done a mincha yet. It's almost Shkia. Can I stop and do a mincha?"
This was a Jewish driver. Hopefully, the taxi
it was in Lakewood or whatever it's called. Anyways,
but the question is, are we entitled not to lend the shovel to other people, to other neighbors?
If we go on tangents, we won't move forward on this. So you guys have said, we have 1 minute. I say we move forward.
Yes.
Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Chalash. Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yoshua, became weak. He was ill in bed. Al Rav Papa leshiyule be. Rav Papa went in to be makir cholim to see how he's doing. Chazi de chalish le alma. He saw that it seemed like everything was over. The whole world seemed weak over him. Everything seemed finished. Amar lehu svituli zavda. Prepare me food for the road. Meaning, he was telling them, get me my shrouds ready, my tachrichim, what you'll bury me in. The saw of itpech. Now, I'm sorry, tzvitu leizavda. Rav Papa said, prepare him his burial clothing. And when Rav Papa saw that he was totally out of it, so he thought it's over. He told them, you guys can start preparing for the burial.
What's the word for shrouds?
Zavdita means food for the road. And food for the road, Rav Papa said to them, you guys can start preparing food for the road. Meaning you can start preparing his burial clothing. Lesof itpach. Rav Huna b'ed Rav Yeshua got better. Michzev Rav Papa lemichzev. Rav Papa was embarrassed to see him. Amar lei mai chazit. So he asked him, what'd you see? Amar lehu in hachi hava. Said, yeah, this is what happened. He was right. When he said that it was over, he was 100% right. In heavens they decreed that I should get killed. V'amalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I was like semi-conscious, I was in a different world, and I saw God saying, being that he doesn't stand for his rights, he forgoes his rights, so don't stand on him with exacting judgment. Hashem says, I'm willing to forgo sin for those who forgo their own rights. And being that Rav Huna b'ed Rav Yoshua forgoes his rights, he doesn't stand on his rights, so that's why God said, forget it, let him go. I gave the example. He had a right to go with another taxi. He didn't. Okay, we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.
So you mentioned this one.